Ms. Bonstick, Creel 1. Where were you born, please?
I was born in a small place, Poland.
Can you give the name?
Yeah, the name is Staszow.
In which part of Poland is Staszow?
It's the nearest place, bigger town was Kielce. And not far from Kraków, which is more known.
So this is southern Poland?
Yes.
And you were born in 1928?
Yes.
What did your father do for a living? Can you tell me about your family background?
Yes. My mother and father had a place where they used to sell everything for making shoes. Now, why they did that was we had an uncle in our town who used to manufacture shoes. What he used to do, he used to give out to all people how to make up the shoes. And he directed them to buy all the raw materials from us.
So would you say that you were a poor, a rich, or a moderately earning family?
Moderate, I would say very middle class.
What were relations like between the Jewish children and the Polish children in your area?
Well, the Jewish children were really tight with the Polish. Because when we used to go to school, we couldn't go regularly. We tried to go a few months together because they always used to throw stones at us, attack us. The anti-Semitism in Poland at that time was unbearable. But we got used to this type of life, and in school itself, or coming home from school, we always were on the lookout to see who's watching us and who's bothering us.
Were the Jewish children and the Polish children mixed together in the schools? What do you think was the origins of the anti-Semitism? Where do you think it came from?
Well, it came from the church. They were taught in church, and they were all religious people going to church. And in our town, on a Sunday morning, everything of the church, all shops were closed, they were recalled. And they were brought up in Holland for 80 years. Whatever we did from this day, we did everything bad.
Was anybody ever seriously injured?
Not seriously, but many times we were attacked and we had to miss schools for days. Because it's ruined life. They killed us, but they made life very miserable. You know, when the day was over from school, we were glad to get home.
Were you able to get any protection from the authorities, the police?
No, because it was smaller things that happened. And they were the same as the school children. I mean, it was the police children that did these things to us. That's how we were brought up. I mean, we could never join them in a football match or anything like this. We had to do everything separate.
Had your family before the war ever considered leaving Poland to go to a different country?
We were too poor to do that. But what I've got to tell you now is what we did. The whole family collected money, put together, and we sent one of our relations, my mother's brother, we sent him to Argentina, which I never knew him, but my mother always told me that the whole family put together and we sent him to Argentina.
Was it a success?
He was eventually a very big success. Because it comes into my life later on.
Now, any other memories from your pre-war days that you'd like to record?
Pre-war, we were a very religious family. And I was brought up very religious. I mean, when I finished school in the morning, in the afternoon I went to Jewish school. I remember now the conditions we used to live in. I mean, then it classed like a middle class. Here it wouldn't even be classed as poor, because we live in a block of flats. There's one toilet outside. There's no running water. And water we had to go to was the middle of the town. We had to go for the water and bring it into the house. And if you could afford, there was a man who went around selling water.
Had you ever travelled to other parts of Poland?
No, I've never been anywhere out of my town.
Now, can we go on to the day that war broke out and what you personally remember of that, please?
What I remember of this was one day we could see planes in the sky. They were coming over, flying over, and then everybody said the war broke out. This was published in 1939.
Did?
And in our town, part of an army was stationed in our town, little town. And when the war broke out, you could see them already. Everybody was leaving to the front. So they were mobilizing the soldiers in town. And the people that stayed in the barracks said, left with all their weapons and everything left the town.
Was there any damage or casualties in your town?
Our town was never bombed or any casualties whatsoever in our town. Till the Germans came. And the Germans occupied our town. Then when the whole trouble started, as far as the Jewish people were concerned.
Did you see the German army enter the town?
Yes, very much so. I was a child. And it's the first thing we did is run out to see them coming into town. You know,
what did they look like?
Soldiers, which we already heard about. You know, the rumors started going about what they do to people when they come into town. And obviously nobody believed what we heard, that anything, what the Germans are going to do to us, except the Poles used to tell us, like, you wait till the Germans come in here.
What type of things did the rumors say?
They said that they shoot them. Jews, they shoot in the street.
How did their coming first affect you?
Just to start off with, it didn't affect you. Just came in, and then after a few weeks, everybody had to leave. Jewish people had to leave their own houses and go into a ghetto. Fortunately enough, the ghetto was where we used to live. But we lived in a three-room apartment. We had to share it with other two families. The people came in from the other side of town. And then, that's when it all started, that my father couldn't go to his business. I couldn't go to school. We had to live on a ration, what they gave us. Except if you had money. I was a child. I could run out of the ghetto with money to go to a Polish house and pay over the odds for a loaf of bread and so on. And I used to bring it back to the house. Extra food.
What did the rations consist of?
Well, it was supposed to be a loaf of bread for a family and soup. It never materialized. Days to list it all together. But the families had to fend for themselves. Only the Polish people could help us in those times to be able to get out and buy some food. We owe the Jew that they have never meant for this purpose. Because my town, where I lived, fortunately was not evacuated in 1942. So we had to live in a ghetto for 2.5 years.
Was anybody allowed to go out of the ghetto?
No. Except there was the Jewish police, which was that's a ghetto, that's what they're looking at there. You know, the earth. So it should be peace. If anything happened in the ghetto, they moved in to sort things out. I mean, just worry about it.
Where did the Jewish police come from? From Staszów or elsewhere?
It was some people who... It's like volunteers, but they made them volunteer for the job. It's not just that Polish people take over. Obviously, it's better that, yeah.
How did you get on with the Polish police? With the Jewish police?
Well, they did the best. But orders are orders, they had to obey orders. But it was like people were living, I mean, sort of a lie. Yes.
So you knew the members of the Jewish police personally?
Yes.
Did any come from your family?
No, they weren't old enough my family. Now at that time, it was 1941, where the rumor went round that anybody who volunteered to go to work in the factories would survive the war. And I had an older brother who volunteered. And that's the last time I saw him when he left the house. This was 1941. Never saw him again. But I spoke afterwards to people who also lived in the same camp, which one or two survived. And they told me the circumstances in this camp that he was. He had no chance of surviving. And was one day he couldn't go to work anymore. He was shut in the barracks.
What was the name of the work camp?
Skarczysko. I don't know if you came across. Yes.
I think so.
Yeah. So you used to have the Dalusko. Three different barracks, A, B, and C. C was the worst one, which my brother was in. And what he used to do there is fill the bullets with the powder. And every person who was there was yellow.
He was your elder brother?
Elder brother, yes.
How many years older than you was he?
4 years.
Did any of the Poles outside the ghetto help the people inside?
Only for money. Because I know from what the incident. Happened just the opposite. That, like I know for a fact, I had an uncle there. He had three children, and he had all these workers that used to work for him, which he used to give out work to manufacture the shoes. He gave him three children to look after them while they go on the way home. And he found out while we were still in the place. So what they did is have them all stay to the Germans.
Can you give his name?
Who, my uncle?
Your uncle?
Violet, yes.
Any other memories of that type of thing?
Well, what happened in the ghetto after the evacuation, when they evacuated everybody from the last people, they assembled them all in the square, which we saw, including all my family, which came from near Staszów, which used to live outside. They assembled them all in this square, and we went out to see our collections from different towns, little towns, like villages, never think. And we begged them because my family decided, our block decided we had built a place to hide that the evacuation would take place. We prepared ourselves. That when we've got to leave this place, that we're not going to leave, because in 1942 we already knew that what's happening in the concentration camps. Once you get there, you don't come out, they just cast you. We knew already. And the Polish people were telling us that all the violence that goes to Auschwitz and Georgia, nobody comes out. Nobody comes out alive. So we decided instead of going the wheel, went into hiding, we prepared a place to go to Anders Heller. And one night, after the first week being there, I was the youngest, and I looked more Polish than Jewish. So I went out to see what's happening in town. And next door to us, lived in the next two houses, two invalids. One couldn't walk, and one couldn't. And when I walked into their house, there were Polish lying dead in this in bed, to a shop. My soldiers were on us, obviously, and I went around to the town and to look around what's happening. You couldn't see a ghost in the ghetto because everything was empty. And what happened is when I went into these houses, you could see after we left, the people left who were evacuated, the courts moved straight away to empty everything, the furniture. And what we did, this block, we collected all the jewelry, and we dug a hole in the garden, and we put everything there. And when I went out, it was already all dug out. This was only a week after that all the relatives were, nothing was left. And we stayed in hiding for 2 weeks.
What kind of a place were you hiding in?
In the cellar. There were about six families, about 24, 26 people. It was terrible, the smell there. It was terrible. And after 2 weeks, we were found by the Polish police, found us, and they called in the Germans. And when I went out that night, I met one of the I'm sure that he gave me away, and he told me that the night before they found this family, they were all shot straight away, soon we found. So obviously when they found us, we thought this is it. That they take everybody to prison and then to shoot you. Fortunately for us, when we got to the prison, a lawyer was passing through the town looking if there was anybody left capable to work in a factory. And just that day, whoever was in this, who was found that day, who was still in prison, instead of shooting them, they took us in the lorry, they took us to this factory to Kelsey, to a mission factory.
And the date of this would be about?
This was it's end of September.
42.
42, yes.
When you say we, who was taken to the factory with you?
Everybody who was there, except the very old ones. I mean, they took my father and my mother, which were then in the late 30s. They took him also and my sister. So all of us went to this. But when we got to this factory, there was men separate and women separate. The barracks. And for the first few months, there were a few boys of us, my age, you know, 12 and a half, 13, which we were too young to go out to work. So what we did, we were servants to the couple who was in charge of the camp. And the soldiers who used to guard the camp used to send the watchers, they wanted them down to the camp, to ladies. But they used to watch it for them. And we used to go for it. We had a special, like in the winter we had a sledge. In the summer we had, just like you say, horse and carriage, but we just had a carriage. And we used to go up for the laundry, take it down, and then when it was washed, we used to take it back. But in this camp, the same thing, there wasn't sufficient food. And the people who went to the factory to work was like this. They used to work 12 hours a day. Shifts, 1 week day, 1 week night. And the Polish people who also worked in this factory, they used to work an 8 hour shift. And these people in the factory, as long as you had money in the camp, if you took some money with you to the factory, they used to sell you some food. You know, as the end of it lasted, you took some things with you to camp, some jewelry or whatever. As long as it lasted, the Poles used to bring you the food.
What kind of food could they get?
They used to bring in bread, potatoes, this one for it, and they used to help you. So while you were in Poland, the starvation wasn't as bad as the people who went to different camps. That was very fortunate. So we stayed in Poland until January 1945.
Where were you sleeping and living?
Different barracks. So it was, you know, one, three, many days you woke up, the fellow next to you was lying dead. And we didn't know all night. But unfortunately, you thought to yourself, you left just a piece of bread. You didn't need it to work or when it came. The conditions weren't as bad as the other camps when I went to in Poland. And but our mistake was one day, it's not a mistake, when we took the Russian back to the soldiers on the way back, they used to have, you know, potatoes like you cover them up over the winter.
We call them clamps.
Clamps. And on the way back, we started pinching the potatoes and taking them into camp. And we, whoever could pay us, paid us, but who couldn't, we just gave them money because we had sufficient food. Because in the camp was while we were servants, we were short. And one day, they caught us. They caught us and they took us down to they had a place where the guards were sitting. And we got well beaten in our pockets, could hardly walk. And about after 3 weeks, we could start walking. We had to go to work. We had to get everybody else.
How many of you were punished?
3 of us. One of them was Eisenberg, and the other one was still in London. He said, whenever we meet, we talk about it. He said, you were lying all night till you took the first 6 and then you started kicking, you couldn't stop the pains. So this, you know, you start discussing it in detail how bad it was. And then we had to go to work like anybody else, 12 hours a day.
So you lost your job?
This job, but I had to go to the factory. But after 6 months being there, they made a selection all the older people which were there were taken away to a different camp. And that was the case with my sister and my parents. And I begged a couple to let me go with them. He just smacked me and said, "You get back to my house. I'm not letting you go." And he knew all that, he said, "Whatever they're doing, they're not going to survive." Next day he told me, like, "Here, I'll look after you. I'll give you some food." I said, "Where they're going, you get no chance to survive." And afterwards, when I met up with my sister, she told me that the parents only lived for another 4 weeks. They couldn't take it. And my sister did survive.
Where had they gone to?
A place called Kielpik in Poland. But then they just took the younger ones away from there. And she finished up in Bergen-Belsen. My sister was liberated, British in Bergen-Belsen. From there they took her to, when the Russians came into their power, they took her to Germany.
So Piontek was a work camp, was it?
A work camp, but elderly people could not. And once he stayed a day behind, and my sister told me she went out in the morning to work, which could not be there.
Can you tell me more about this Kappa, where he came from, and why he made friends with you?
Yes, this Kappa was a Jewish Kappa. And he felt sorry for us. We were kids. And he really looked after us. But then, when we started going to the factory, I told a German who was in charge of the factory. He used to walk about with the floor. And he used to beat all the Jews. He just used to beat them. Just for pleasure. So all doing the job, and he was just beating them. Yet, when I worked with him every night, he used to come over to me, clap me on my back, like to go in his office. He was a sandwich there. He took a liking to me. And the fellow next to me, same thing. An elderly person, Jewish, he used to beat him for nothing. So, but the work in Poland was hard, but nobody was. Very few people died of illnesses, you know, which you live in the barracks, it's cold, it's elderly people couldn't take it. You know, me working 12 hours a day. But sufficient food and water problem. But my problem started once we got to Germany.
What kind of illnesses were they catching?
Typhus. You mentioned it. It's the problem is you had no chance of medicine or anything. Once you took it home, that was it.
But the
guards, but all the Ukrainians weren't even Germans. And they were green bastards. So they were worse than the Germans. They tried to do more than the German guys.
In what way?
They hid the Jews too. And they were in charge of us. And every day they used to remind you, "You won't be here for long.